This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. With many of us staying at home and ordering food in or cooking over the course of the pandemic, the utility of food and beverage point-of-sale systems has had to shift accordingly. So how has cloud-based point-of-sale company Slurp been handling the transition, and how much have they grown? I have Reza Razali, CEO of Slurp, on the line to tell us all about it.
Sure. Thank you, Christine, for having me. My name is Reza from Slurp, and we do retail tech innovation. And among the stuff that we do are point-of-sale software for F&B and point-of-sale software for fuel retailers.
Fantastic. And what sets Slurp's point-of-sale system apart from others on the market?
Sure. For us, when we started in 2014, we were one of the few that does cloud-based point-of-sale. So that sets us apart back then. And since then, there has been a lot more point-of-sale players in the market. I think there's about 30 different players in the market now. And what is different about us these days is we're a lot more focused on enterprise, so we have been doing point of sale for fuel retailers the last 2 years.
Great, fantastic. We'll get to that addition to your services later on as well. But we last spoke to you in late 2017. Can you tell me a little bit about your progress from then up until right before the pandemic, essentially?
Sure. Since then, what has happened, I think when I spoke to you last time, we just raised a funding with one of the local investors. What has happened since then, 18 months after that, we bought back the shares from the investor. We take the company back among just the founders. And then we decided to go and do fuel retail. That was in 2018. And since then, we have had quite a bit of success in that space, in the fuel retail space. And also, we've been able to grow our F&B client base as well across Malaysia, Singapore and Philippines.
I believe the rough rate of that is, you know, when we last spoke in 2017, I think it was in the sort of couple hundreds in the F&B outlet space. And obviously, you guys weren't in the fuel retail space yet. And I think now, if I'm not mistaken, that total figure for F&B outlets in terms of clients has increased to about 2,600 roughly.
Correct. Yeah, about that.
And then with the fuel retail development as well, I think you guys have covered almost 800 stations so far.
Correct, yeah.
So what made you guys want to expand into the fuel space?
We find that the space is fairly interesting. It's a fairly large market. For example, in Malaysia, you have about 8,000 fuel retailers, maybe a small market in Malaysia, but if you look regionally alone, there's about 30,000, 40,000 regional fuel stations in Southeast Asia. But if you look in certain markets like the US alone, the US alone has about 170,000 fuel retailers, convenience store. And that is about 20% of the total market size of restaurants in those kind of mature markets. Because people are using a gas station and convenience store. They are not just selling fuel, they are more convenience than selling fuel. So they have a larger footprint in a lot of the developed market.
Now, I do want to talk a little bit about the fact that Slurp is a cloud-based point-of-sale system, right? And there's been a lot of focus on digitalization and data, especially throughout the pandemic as well. So before the pandemic, do you think that the people who were using Slurp were utilizing data and the analytics of your software to its fullest potential? And why or why not?
We have seen an increase. When we first started, we had a lower base of people that was looking at their reports and analytics every single day. Post-pandemic, now we had a lot more user accessing the cloud service itself, looking at the data. So that is a promising trend. But of course, people, due to the pandemic, they were just looking for ways of how they can go and adapt the business to go online and delivery and things like that. So that's when the data became useful to a lot of our customers. So these days, yeah, we have had a lot more usage of customers that looks at our cloud data. But of course, we've also had challenges in which a large base of our customers couldn't open shop and decided to do had to shut down the operation, we also had quite a bit of that happening the last 18 months.
Actually, that ties in to my next question, which is how has Slurp themselves, how have you guys been adjusting to the pandemic?
Sure. For us, what we have done is, in fact, just 2 weeks into the pandemic last March, we rolled out an ordering system for our customers. So that is something that we did. We built that and rolled it out quickly. We were able to help quite a bit of SMEs. Instead, our online ordering system last year was used by about 1,000 SMEs. We even offered the solution for free to SMEs last year, just as the pandemic was started then. But of course, looking at the numbers, during the onset of the pandemic, we saw a lot of our customers were only recording about 7 to 10% of sales, right, compared to pre-pandemic. And the trend was repeated again when the lockdown happened in May this year. A lot of our customers, although they had the online ordering capabilities already, but then even then, when the second lockdown happened, when we look at the data on overall, majority of the customer lost about still, although they have online ordering capabilities now, they still lost a sizable 80 to 90% of sale during the onset of the pandemic. That has since recovered now, but then still nowhere near the numbers pre-pandemic.
Right. And for your clients, you know, having taken such a hit over the course of the pandemic, how did that affect Slurp's own revenue?
Sure, sure. We had big plans last year. In fact, the government had launched the SME digitalization grant and all that. That was we were very, very excited when that was released early last year. But then due to the lockdown, due to the shutting down of a lot of restaurants, we were not able to, we had to cut down our projection. We had thought that we could have sold a fair bit of a solution last year. We had to cut down quite a bit. We were only hitting about only 20% of projection for our SME FMB business. But in terms of our fuel retail business, that has been growing real well for us. So we were able to hit, we had 1.8 million in revenue in 2018. We grew that to about 5.9 last year. So So yeah, we've been able to grow our revenue, but of course, we are still being cautious on how we want to grow the business further.
Right, and primarily, a lot of that profit came from the fuel retail sector?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, I see. Is it because just that sector had less restrictions, basically? Because as you mentioned, right, F&B outlets primarily had to pivot to takeaway and delivery services across the period of the pandemic. And there were some restrictions, I believe, on petrol or fuel stations, but not as much or not to the same extent. Would you say that's about right?
Yeah, correct. That was one of it. Another reason was, so for our fuel solution, we service large enterprise customers. So for them, when they have set a roadmap of when they want to deploy, normally they just follow through. And although I believe everyone is affected due to the pandemic, but we were able to roll out our solution during to a lot of the station in 2020.
Right. I mean, I guess in a way, working with larger enterprises gives you slightly more security in a sense.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, speaking about your F&B clients for a second, as you mentioned, you did create this online ordering service as well. But how else did you help your F&B clients adjust to the pandemic? And also, you know, you still did manage to grow your F&B clients as well. So tell me a little bit about what you think attracted your new clients to Slurp.
Sure, sure. When we look at the data, when we had lockdown in March till June, the number of sales are not there. But then post-pandemic, the number grew quite a bit. So we were recording pre-pandemic numbers for a few months until January and February. January and February numbers went down again. So for us, we are fairly confident once the economy reopen, we should be able to bounce back, because the F&B business is a business that you look at the data in a lot more market that has reopened, like the US, the F&B sector has bounced back post-pandemic. So we are confident that we would still be able to capture a certain part of the market post-pandemic. So and in terms of our end, yeah, we provided them with online ordering system. We also gave a lot of our customers during the lockdown, they do not have to pay. I mean, last year, they do not have to pay any renewal of fees. They will still be able to access data. So those are the things that we do to help our customers during the trying times.
Right. So for the most part, essentially, Slurp, although, you know, there was some, I guess, fluctuation in activity for Slurp, but overall, you guys managed to pretty much keep your heads above ground, it sounds like.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we have been able to do that. But of course, I think for us, we've been able to do that because we have been optimizing our cost structure since we started, right? Our running cost is way lower compared to a lot of other, you would say, tech companies. So that is one way we've been able to sustain and grow our revenue even during the pandemic. But even in growing our business during these trying times, we are also being very, very cautious. We wanted to grow, but because we are only funded with our internally generated funds at the moment, so we are also being very cautious of what we can do and what we cannot do.
Right. A bit of more of a slow and steady approach here.
Correct, yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's time to take a short break, but after that, I will continue speaking to Reza Razali, CEO of Slurp, all about their big dreams for the future. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong and I have Reza Razali, CEO of Slurp, on the line. Slurp is essentially a cloud-based point-of-sale company, but they've also moved into sort of the fuel retail sector as well as their previous demographic of F&B outlets as well. Before the break, we were talking about how they were affected by the pandemic and also how their clients were affected by the pandemic as well. And generally speaking, you guys seem to have done okay and sort of kept your heads above ground to the point where in 2020, I believe you closed the year with 1.9 million ringgits in profits, which is a significant jump from about 500,000 ringgit profits in 2019. And with all of that, I would imagine that you have some pretty big plans for that kind of money. So tell me a little bit about that. What's the plan here?
Yeah, so for us, we are currently actively looking for joint venture partners in new market that we're going into. We are exploring the fuel retail market in the Philippines, in Thailand, in North America. So those are the markets that we're looking for. And in fact, because we are trying to grow steadily, so what we are looking, how we intend to grow the business is we're just setting up joint ventures in this new market that we go into. So we are still in the process of identifying the right partners in the, some of the key markets that we're looking to expand to.
Right. And so let's take a look at some of those places you want to expand to first. Why Philippines and Thailand?
Thailand has a large base of fuel retail sites across the country. Of course, although they are mostly primary on diesel, they have the large brands and also some of these smaller Dodo-owned sites as well.
Yes.
So that's what makes Thailand exciting. And in fact, what we have done is we have been talking to a lot of partners in this market. They indicate that there is a request for our product in these two markets regionally, Thailand and Philippines. So that's what got us excited. And we've been talking to a few fuel retailers and they are close to nearing their life cycle change of their solution as well. So that's why we are targeting these two markets at the moment.
And so that expansion sort of within Southeast Asia does make a lot of sense. But then you've also mentioned America, like the United States as well. So what's the jump there? Like, what interests you about the American market?
The American market is the largest fuel retail market in the world. There's about 170,000 fuel retailers. For the sake of comparison, there's about 1 million restaurants, right? So the fuel retail convenience store market is about 20% of market size of the restaurant segment. So a fairly large segment, which is predominantly dominated by legacy point of sale players. So we find it similar to be we find it very similar to how we when we started in 2014. The whole cloud point of sale space just came into restaurants, and we were able to ride on that wave. So we find that the whole cloudification of fuel retailers are also happening right now. And also, they are also, a lot of them are nearing their life cycle change as well. And that's why we want to possibly tap right on the wave.
So is it safe to say that for expansion, Slurp is focusing primarily on the fuel retail sector, or is there the F&B outlet point of sale expansion as well?
We are mostly focused on the fuel retail sector for our expansion.
May I ask why the F&B outlet point of sale is not taking off as much?
That segment, as I've said early on, in Malaysia alone, there's about 30 different players that's in the F&B point of sale. Mm-hmm. And if you look at other markets in the region, a lot of these markets has already has their own cloud market leader for the F&B segments.
So it's a bit oversaturated already, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a bit oversaturated. And then when you also look at the space, a lot of the player across the region are very, very well funded as well. That is a reason why we decided to focus on the different segment.
Okay, interesting. Now, also, I understand that even with the fact that your profit margin seems to be doing pretty well, you are also seeking some external funding as well. I believe it is 3.5 million ringgit through Pitch In Equity crowdfunding. So first of all, why specifically 3.5 million ringgit?
Yeah, so basically, we're looking at our needs to expand to this three markets that we've identified early on, the Thailand, the Philippines, and then the North America market, and that is our capital need to fund our OPEX and CAPEX to go into this three market. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and why ECF, why crowdfunding? Mm-hmm. We wanted to explore this route because we have seen some exciting recent success on those platforms. So we wanted to be more in control of the terms that we offer to our investors, right? I mean, not to say that VC terms are restrictive, but then we find that on ECF platform, you're able to set the terms better. Mm-hmm. And so far, we have done quite well on pitching. We have had a commitment for about 2.3 million from over 80 investors so far. And we've had over these are the number of those who has banked in. Mm-hmm. And we have about another 100 over investors that has not banked in their investment yet. So it's exciting. We have a lot of small retail investors that wants to partner us and perhaps become our evangelists. So we like that.
Right. So essentially with crowdfunding, you have, I guess, a little bit more ownership just because the funding is sort of spread over across that many more investors, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, interesting. And I would also like to ask, apart from all these big dreams and big plans, what about locally? Do you plan on expanding more locally? What are your goals for the rest of the year?
Locally, we are still expanding, we are still maintaining and expanding our F&B market, F&B footprint for the local market. But then most of the expansion, as we've indicated, it will be for our plans for the foreign market.
Gotcha. All right. Okay, interesting. And I would also like to ask a couple of questions here just based on the data that Slurp has collected about both sectors. I mean, what are some of your predictions for the future of, let's start with the F&B industry first. I mean, taking a look at restrictions slowly lifting, dine-in is slowly starting to come back into play here. You know, what are your thoughts for the rest of the year? Do you think that you'll be able to sort of gain a little bit more from that sector?
Sure, yeah. We have seen the trend last year when the economy reopened, we recorded record sales for the balance of 2020, for the third and fourth quarter of 2020. So hopefully the trend will return by the fourth quarter of this year. We are hopeful for F&B segment. But of course, a lot of F&B segment now, they have practically changed compared to 18 months ago, right? Mm. People now require probably QR ordering. Perhaps 2 years ago, people wanted those kiosk ordering to order food.
Yeah.
These days, people wouldn't go and touch another touch panel, right?
Yes.
That's a challenge. So probably we find that maybe apart from online delivery, digital menu or or QR ordering is something that's gonna gain traction moving forward. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've also seen a lot of supplies ordering capability happening in the space. A lot of startup that's focused in bringing down the cost of supplies to restaurants. Mm-hmm. That's an exciting space as well. I mean, we're not directly in that space, but we find that a lot of retailer has been able to cut costs and get credit by buying supplies. I think that's been helpful to a lot of F&B operators as well.
Absolutely. And how about your other endeavor in the fuel retail sector? What are your thoughts on how that's going to continue faring throughout the rest of the year?
Mm-hmm. So if you look at the trend globally, fuel retail space about 10 years ago, when you own a station, the core business is from fuel first, and then you have a bit of the convenience item later on. So that was the focus of industry about 10 years ago. But globally, the industry has changed to where when people go to fuel station, majority of the spending are happening beyond the forecourt. A lot of the activities and revenue are generated in store from convenience item, from restaurants that you have, and from F&B item and from restaurant that you have in the convenience store instead of the forecourt. So we notice the trend of fuel retailer now moving beyond just fuel to becoming more of convenience and a few other value-added services that they offer on site. So, and because eventually it will go to convenient first and then fuel.
Gotcha.
So that is what we are observing in the market right now.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Reza, for speaking to me all about Slurp and your progress.
No problem. Thank you, Christine. My pleasure.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and I've been speaking to Reza Razali, CEO of Slurp. If you missed any of today's conversation, you can go ahead and download the podcast on our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my, our website, of course, to download the podcast as well. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.